All right, we're going to do it. Right now, we are going to begin the first podcast of Behind the Barricade with Andrew Varela. How are you? Currently lying in my bed, just trying to get this first one done so I can say that I've done it. Anyway, my name is Andrew Varela. I'm playing Javert on the 25th anniversary reimagined production of Les Miserables, which is currently at the Kennedy Center. I am in my lovely home in the northwest of D.C. And my lovely wife Susan is next to me. She's going to be a facilitator for this so we can see how this goes. But she's awful interesting in her own right. Say hello, my love.
Hello.
There she is. So I think basically what the idea of this is going to be a chance to get some of the, like we said, behind the barricade. We're going to let you know how it all works out here and how the show functions on a daily basis and the sort of things that are going on behind it. But also it's going to be a place just for myself and other cast members and other company members to talk about the sort of things that they want to talk about, just so you get an idea of who they are as far as people go, because some of them are pretty interesting, and some of them aren't. You'll find this out as we go along.
You'll easily make the distinction.
Yes, exactly. It'll be obvious. Okay, so my name is Andrew Varela. I'm playing Javert. I've been an actor since I got out of college back in 1990.
Wait, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, baby.
I thought it was going to be called Between Shows.
Yeah, but it's not Between Shows. I figured that we can do Between Shows some of the time. Behind the Barricade is better because this is going to be Les Mis-centric. I want it to be. It's going to have to deal with Les Mis because that's at this point, that's the only thing that anybody would ever know me for. So, you know, until my work on the artificial heart continues, it's going to have to be Behind the Barricade. You know about the heart. It's in the basement.
Yeah.
We have a basement. We don't have a basement. We don't even have a toilet that flushes, apparently. That's the wonderful discovery of this morning. See, we're in this very interesting Eurotrash house. We're renting it from a Swedish couple, go figure. And among the more interesting things that they have, actually in the fridge when we came in here, they have tubes of like salmon toothpaste. There's like this dill and lobster Swedish cheese food that's in there
in a tube
and you squeeze it out and it tastes like fish and dill together at last.
But you're braver than I because I will not taste it.
No, it's good. It's actually not that bad. It's just weird. I don't think as Americans we eat much food out of, you know, we eat aerosol cheese, but that's almost a joke.
Well, we don't eat aerosol cheese, and no. Until I'm living on the space shuttle, I'm not going to eat anything out of a tube.
When are you going to live on the space shuttle? Is done. You've got to go up in a Russian spacecraft
station.
Now.
I meant the space station.
Well, you don't know nothing about space travel.
You know what? Here's something, though, that I think is interesting to your audience, that most people... It's a common, I think that people think that you are just put up in housing. So explain why we are renting a place from the Swedish Eurotrash.
Excellent point. Okay, so when you're on the road, rather than stay in a hotel and be subject to the lack of food or the lack of, you know, the lack of a refrigerator or in parking and all the sorts of things that happen at a hotel, we have decided to, as often as we can, especially when we're in a place as long as we are here in D.C. for a month, we have decided to rent places on like VRBO.com, Vacation Rentals by Owner. And you just go in there and people that are, in this case, going to Costa Rica for 5 weeks, how the hell they managed to do that, I don't know. But people will put their houses up on VRBO.com, and Susan will go ahead and find it, and we'll rent it out for the month, and we'll stay there. So we're in someone's house here. They don't have cable. They didn't even say that. They don't have TV. I mean, they have TV. We get Al Jazeera.
We don't get CNN. TV.
They got a. It's actually not a. It's no. Nah, yeah, it's a busted TV.
It's a busted TV.
So that's why we're in this house. And just everywhere around it, you know, things are falling apart. It's like the whole house is like one of those IKEA houses, and everything that's punched into the wall is falling out, and you know, something's going wonky with their low water toilet. So, you know, I don't even want to talk about the sort of wonderful things that's yielding. But let's just say that before anybody goes into the bathroom, we always ask the last person, "Can I use the toilet?"
Yeah, IKEA is always a good idea. When you go there, it looks like...
You have to live with that stuff.
It's a show place, yes. Yeah. It's a show place to go there and look at it. All the high gloss, you know, white kind of serene lighting. But the reality of it is...
Crap.
IKEA is crap.
It's just crap.
And unless it's a piece of furniture that isn't going to be subjected to a lot of use, and, you know, like a bookshelf, I guess...
Yeah,
you're not gonna
bookshelves.
Be...
IKEA is great for bookshelves. IKEA is great for you know, like pictures you're gonna stick on. Well, nothing that actually has to function. Pretty things, yes, but anything that actually has to move or I don't know what. It's just like everything that I bought there. You know, it's creaking.
A drawer, yeah, drawers opening.
Yeah,
and
drawers.
Closing, fall
oh, that's
the
great thing here. The kitchen. The kitchen here, all of the knobs are falling off all the drawers, and all the drawers won't open because it just pisses me off.
It's so they're so tightly the cupboards.
We think they did it
the
themselves. We think they put all
they
the stuff in themselves.
They had to have done it themselves, and let me tell you, they did not do a very good job.
I you know, do full disclosure, I probably would have done a crap job too. I'm just not very
well,
happy
but
that
we
way.
Wouldn't be renting out our place. You know, they took very, they carefully photographed this place,
yeah,
and sent us the information. And it looks great in the photos. And then you get here and you realize, oh, the cupboard and the drawers are so closely stuck together that you have to open the cupboard in order to get the drawer open.
Yeah, and that's nice. That's always a lot of fun. When you're paying for a thing, like if this was a hotel room, we would have switched already. Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
I remember that.
That is true.
It's so
a little late, but it's fine. We have a lot of space. That's
yeah.
The good thing. There's space.
Yeah, we got
a
ton of space.
It's
and
very
we got
clean.
And we got stray cats outside that every day after the show when we come home, we feed them. Susan feeds them. I pour bourbon, but they're very sweet. And you know, when we leave here. They practically moved in. Whenever we open the door, they walk inside. So we're very big into stray cat rescue. Sort of. Susan is. I just like cats. I just like petting cats. Anyway, let's go to the show.
Let's talk about the show. Talk about your origins with Les Mis.
Okay. My origins with Les Mis began in 1997. 97. August of 1997, I started in the Broadway company of Les Miserables, and I did it for 4 years. I was originally Courfeyrac in the show, and I covered Valjean. Back in those days, Valjean had a rotation, which means he only had to do 7 out of 8 shows, and then I would, or the other understudy would go on for 1 show a week. So it was a lot of fun. You got to do a great role, and you know, it really kept you going emotionally. Being able to do the role, so you know, I stayed in it for 4 years. After the first year I was in it, though, they cast Susan in the show as well, just as a temporary position, and then they kept her on because she, I guess, they liked her or something like that.
you know, everybody focuses on the fact that you've played Jean Valjean and now you're playing Javert, but Courfeyrac. Was your first foray into Les Mis?
Yeah.
Tell us what was one of your lines. What is so that fans who don't know right off the top of their heads something, you know, who was.
If I should die in the fight to be free, where the fighting is hardest, there will I be. That was me.
That's great.
Thank you. Yeah, that was my big line in the top of the barricade. I was actually Courfeyrac. You take the watch.
Yeah, but you didn't sing that.
No, I didn't sing that. But
Andra,
I mean,
that
it's the first time I told somebody that I was Courfeyrac, that I was going to play Courfeyrac, that's when they said, "Oh, you take the watch." Ha ha. But Valjean is an incredible role. It's such an amazing challenge to do it. It's the hardest thing for a man to do in music theater, bar none. I defy you to come up with something else. Maybe what was Jekyll and Hyde. Jekyll and Hyde. I think it's harder than Sweeney Todd. I mean, it's a different journey, but just the difficulty of the singing, in addition to the amount of time you spend on stage, I think it edges out Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, I think you're right. And plus the physicality of it. I mean, Jekyll has...
You don't have to pick anybody up in Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, you don't have to pick anybody up in Jekyll and Hyde either. You walk around, you know, flailing your arms and killing people, but you're not picking up...
Well...
You're picking up Marius.
Yeah.
We've had some chunky Mariuses.
Whoa, he's... Moving on to Javert, it's a great role, and the singing is a challenge, the acting is a challenge, but it's only a half an hour on stage. So ultimately, I can never complain about my job because while it is challenging and while it is difficult and while it is rewarding, it is a short time on stage.
There are those people who would argue.
Screw those people!
That you would not... No, I'm arguing in favor of your... Well, no. That it's harder than you make it seem. You make it seem very casual, and you make it...
Go ahead.
It stopped.
Oh, gee. Okay.
You make it... You're very casual about how easy Javert is, or that it's much easier than Valjean. But one would argue that if you're out on stage the whole time, you're kind of keeping yourself in this warm position.
Well,
you're keeping yourself in the game all the time. But you have to go out and go from 0 to 60 in a very short amount of time. You have to hit the stage and be at a certain level and then go off and be down for a long time and then come back out and rev up again.
Yes.
And seriously, from like a race perspective, you're a sprinter and not a marathoner.
Wow. Wow, right? All of that. Every bit of that. Yes. No, it's true. It's true. I get it. But you know what? Valjean gets shot out of a cannon with the top with the prologue at the beginning of the show. That's
but then
just...
he can pace himself. He has to start and he has to pace himself. And...
Yeah, well, I get shot out of a cannon and then I can take a nap. You know? And that's happened. That has happened on certain hangover days.
What do you do when you're off stage? Tell people what you do when you're off stage, because I think they'd be really shocked to know. A friend of ours who was Cosette on Broadway came to see the show last week, and she was surprised to note that we were backstage watching the Kennedys.
We were. We watch a lot of movies.
People think that if they're not in theater, or even in her case, who is in theater, that she thinks that you're backstage kind of pacing around and being angry at Valjean and living this life off stage.
Wow.
That you're waiting to get back out on the ice,
no,
so to speak.
That is definitely not what happens. The guy who's playing Valjean now is great, J. Mark McVeigh. He's wonderful. He and I will come off stage and we will chat. We'll just be two guys just hanging out, talking about what'd you do, what'd you eat, where are the kids, you know, that kind of stuff. But generally backstage I'll either read or watch something on the computer. Just to burn up some time between. If I'm feeling saucy, I'll try to do a little bit of stretching, some yoga. But largely my job is to just stay frosty backstage. Because the thing is, if you're off stage and you chill out and then you get super chill, it's just hard to keep getting back up there, you know. So I'll just leave everything in my dressing room, and I'll go and I'll walk around, talk to people. But it's, you know, that's the job. You know, I can't go out there and have to start pushing this tractor up a hill again. I've got to keep it rolling so that or else it's twice as hard as it needs to be.
This is the thing. This is the sprinter.
Okay.
As opposed
sprinter.
To the marathoner.
But
it's true. You're making my point for me. That you can't just go off stage and I mean you could take a nap. I know that you have in the one long. Very long break that you have, but then to bring yourself back up to performance level to get back out there to live in the life of your character, it is difficult.
Not any monkey can put on not any monkey can put on a hat and dance. Well, quite a few monkeys can do that, but I mean I'm doing more than just that.
And a nice image would be you said that you do some stretching, you do some yoga. Of course, you're still in your wig.
I'm still in my wig.
And your microphone, which is rigged into your wig, it has to stay on. So you've got all that, but you're not wearing pants.
I am not wearing pants. Well, pants are constricting, and I think we all know that, guys. We all know exactly what they constrict, and in yoga, that is just not the case. Besides Sally, the associate wardrobe supervisor and my dresser, she would hate it if I blew the crotch out of one more pair of pants. She keeps telling me, "Tell your penis to stop breaking your pants," and I don't know what to, I don't know how to respond to that.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Penis.
I'm actually afraid of that.
Okay, you should be.
Well, but I think it's a good visual that you're walking around in your boxer shorts
and orange socks. I wear orange socks on the show. That is because they're I always put my feet in tall boots, so I wear long. And anybody who's seen has followed me on Twitter. I wear knee-high bright orange socks that were originally for one of the other characters in the show, but when that character's costume plot was changed, I asked for the orange socks, and so now I always wear orange socks. They used to be orange and green, but the green socks broke. My socks broke.
You broke your socks.
I broke my socks.
So there you are in your tall. I mean, they're like hose. They're like kind of a cotton hose.
Yeah, in black underwear, and I keep my white Javert shirt on. It's pretty undignified, but you know what? That's what backstage is all about.
And so when you're not doing yoga or watching the Kennedy miniseries, which I highly recommend.
It was good.
Because it was really good. Barry Pepper, awesome.
Emmy Award. The Emmy.
Yep. That doesn't always mean anything, but he is really awesome. Wow. And so when you're not doing that, how do you read?
Oh, on my Kindle. Susan got me a Kindle. For was it Christmas or my birthday?
Your birthday.
Okay, yeah, she got me a Kindle, and that thing it kicks ass. Actually, there's a disc that everybody backstage has passed around of all these e-books, and I put it on there. So I've got like 400 or 500 books on it. Unfortunately, a goodly portion of them are like Sue Grafton and Janet Ivanovich or whatever. So
Nicholas Sparks.
Nicholas. Oh, I love Nicholas Sparks. It was the Notebook was them. They were the Notebook. I try to thumb through and find books that I can read back there. I've read the Max Brooks zombie books three
Guillermo
times each. On love
Del
them.
Toro, right.
And Guillermo del Toro. That's what I'm reading now. The Strain, which is The Strain and The Fall, which are Guillermo del Toro from Pan's Labyrinth. They're his forays into the vampire mythos. Mythos?
I don't know. Ethos, mythos.
It's the guy that owns a diner on 46th Street that we used to go to. So I'll read backstage. I'll do whatever. I'll tweet. Many of you know that I tweet like a son of a bitch. I'm really into that.
What is your Twitter name?
My Twitter name is Andrew Varela 525, and I've got 750 some odd followers. What? That's right. So I'm pretty pleased about that. I'm going to post last week I did this thing called the Arch Campbell Show here in D.C. And it's this guy, he's the movie reviewer here on one of the local stations, and he does a kind of a very loose interview show that I went over and I did, and I had a blast. And I'm going to post the video as soon as I can get it.
It was so much fun. And
yeah,
if you
it was totally
don't know
cool.
Who Arch Campbell is, he's kind of I don't even want to say a local treasure. I think that he has more than that. That seems insulting.
He's a great guy. You know, like when you get there, he's going to be in his late 60s,
yeah,
early 70s,
yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But and he wears a fedora when he does his show. But and the thing is, and I've done a lot of interviews at this point where the interviewer really sucked, where they were just like they're just in their mind they're thinking I've got these questions to ask and he's going to answer them and then I'm going to move on to the food about is your cat milk safe or something like that. Do the segment about that. But this guy, Arch Campbell, we went out there and he was so hip. And even if he wasn't totally hip on the jokes, he liked all of the jokes. He laughed at everything that was funny.
He was so easy.
Totally cool dude.
And could,
totally cool
could
dude.
Run with anything. That's the thing, is that if you're not afraid to think outside the box for 5 seconds or to just go down a road that you didn't expect.
Yeah,
that's the
and he laughs, and then when you're done, he's so genuine and sweet off camera. So we had it's the Arch Campbell Show. It's on. You can see the video on TBD.com until I can get it up on YouTube because he had on TBD.com the footage that they played was all the raw footage. So it's 30 minutes long, and there's maybe 18 minutes of actual stuff on there, and
you're watching a blank screen
and all that nonsense. So. So I'm going to try to get that up there so everybody can see it, because it was a great interview and I had a blast.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I'm going to, coming back to the format on the show, I'm going to, like, ask, I think this is going very well. I think you should be a part of whatever we do.
I have
a few notes. Wow. But we're going to have different cast members come on here, and we'll just ask some questions. We're just going to sit around, and it's going to be totally, really casual, so that you get a feel for the people that I know backstage, and get a feel for their stories, and get an understanding of who we are. You know, it's always funny to me when I meet people after the show. They're like, "Wow, you're so normal." And I'm like, "No, I'm an idiot. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a." You know, I'm not an orator or something like that. You know, you see what I do, and then when I come off stage, very normal, probably pretty charming. You might think that. Don't you think I'm charming?
I think you're very charming.
Yeah.
You're the most charming person I know.
You heard that. My wife, it would never hold up in court. but I think that that getting people out here and just relating to them in the way that I do would be something that will give you an idea of exactly what sort of vibe is going on backstage. Because let me tell you right now, I've done a lot of shows, and this is easily one of the most relaxed, one of the most fun, one of the most... the esprit de corps backstage is great. I think everybody just enjoys coming to work, because not only do we get to do a great piece of theater, but we get to do it with people that we genuinely like. And I think that the turnover on our show, because very few people leave, because we're all having a lot of fun and we're all enjoying what we're doing, and it's a really great place to come to work.
Well, and you're doing something really remarkable. I mean, to say that it's a lot of fun backstage, to the person who hasn't seen the show, might be like, "Oh, maybe that show's not going to be so good," but it's really fine performances on stage. And a really great production. So people come to see it, and it seems like it must be run like an army backstage in order to keep people, you know, month after month. We're going on like 9 months now, or 10 months of this production, and you month after month to maintain that level of performance. It has to be like tight as a drum backstage, and it's not.
No.
And part of what you're talking about, I think, again, people may not understand, it isn't simply the cast that you see on stage that makes up the spirit backstage.
Yeah, the crew guys. Side. Yeah, the crew, the technical guy, the creatives that we have visiting us.
The orchestra, the people who run the show.
Right.
The
actors can be management. Crazy when left to themselves, but because we have the orchestra, and because we have the crew guys, and because we have stage management, company management, we have a lot of people backstage that are doing different jobs that provide a sort of a leavening ingredient to the drama that actors tend to generate around themselves and around their lives. So Trinity Wheeler, who is our production stage manager,
whom you absolutely have to interview.
Yeah. Oh no, he's totally going to come in here. He's awesome. He's a great guy. And you know, I'll tell you what this cat does. When things break, and they have on quite a few occasions, things will snap on any new production. There's, as they work it out, things, you know, there's a growing pains, and you know, something will break, and then the show will stop. And on two or three occasions, Trinity has come backstage and explained to everybody what the problem is and how we all need to kick in and, you know, to help fix it and keep the show going. And he's so calm, so collected, and so focused and so prepared that we all understand that this cat is getting the job done and doing it with a big, bright smile on his face. And he's great.
Very nice man. Very nice. Real professional.
Totally cool. Loves his dog.
Great management skills. Will come and rally the troops.
Yeah. And it all comes down from the top. It all comes down from the top. Heather Chalkley, the assistant stage manager, his second, is she's a blast. Everybody's fun. Mitch Hodges, who is the A2 on it, the another assistant stage manager, so relaxed. Great guy. Loves to cook. We always have poker at his house. We always go to eat at his house and play a little bit of poker. I think that's how that needs to come out, right?
It's like 5 minutes of poker, 15 minutes of seafood paella, which he made from scratch, and then about 7 minutes of poker, and then we have some dessert.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty incredible.
But you know, and that's the sort of thing that happens when everybody's having a good time. You get creative, and people want to share time with each other, and just do things outside of the theater, which is really a gift, because, you know, we've both done shows where you did the show and you got the hell out because you couldn't stand anybody you were working with. And that happens a lot. That happens a lot to us, because while we love acting and we love what we do,
we just can't stand people.
We hate people. No, but actors can be a little kooky, and so we're pretty careful about who we choose to associate with. Not that makes us cool or anything like that, but we've been doing this so long that you can tell pretty much in the first 10 minutes whether or not you're going to get along with somebody. Out on this company, there isn't anybody that I couldn't hang out with. There isn't anybody that I could hang out with.
Which is such a blessing, because, yeah. You know, being tour veterans, both of us, it's, you know, it isn't just your time at the theater, which is obviously the focus of why you're on the road. But you are often traveling with these people, you're eating with these people,
Thing with young actors. When they first start a show, they hang out with each other all the time. And as you know, veterans, let's say, Susan and I, we understand, don't hang out with anybody during rehearsal, because you are going to get sick of these people really fast. Keep it fresh. Keep them interesting to you. Don't be so wrapped up in them that 3 months down the line, you are so invested in what everybody else is doing with their lives. It's just ridiculous. It's just a bad idea.
Well, it's really the best to focus on the work, because the workload is so huge when you start a rehearsal process, to just keep it all in your head and then find some sort of a mental break for yourself so that you're not thinking about the show 24/7, so that when you are at rehearsals, you're happy to see the company that you're with, and that you're happy to do the work and explore that world again,
I remember years ago, I was in high school and I was doing a Godspell. I was doing Godspell at Summit High School.
New Jersey.
And there was a day that rehearsal got canceled for some reason. And I was so bummed. And I was a sophomore at the time. And one of the seniors was like, "Why are you so upset? I can't believe it. This is so exciting that we don't have rehearsal. I get to do whatever I want." And I'm like, "I wanted to do this. Now, at this point in my life, if rehearsal's canceled, I'm pretty much going to go out and do something stupid, I think. I'm going to go out and see a movie or go have a drink or something."
Well, it's not because you don't love it.
That's not because I don't love it, but
it's
because
just that you have a life in addition to what it is that you do your living.
Yeah, you want to have a life.
Yes, and your life is largely, when you are on the road, your life is largely the show that you're doing, but you really have to be disciplined to take advantage of your downtime. Right now, it's so easy because we're in Washington, D.C., which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Everything is free. All the Smithsonians are gorgeous, and they're free. So you can walk in, and you've had enough in 15 minutes, which never happens to us. But you had enough, you walk out, and, you know, no harm, no foul. You know, it's a great walking city. It's a great city. It's a great eating city. My goodness.
Good eating city. It is a walking city. I made the mistake of putting on a new pair of shoes for my first day of walking around the city, thinking that would be cool. I was wrong, and you know, I'm walking around with this busted pinky toe on my left foot that's just ruining everything. But that's okay. There's nothing that bourbon and Advil can't take care of.
Corn pads.
See, it's all about the glamour. Corn pads and Advil are my life.
But although it is very nice, because you have a Lightning McQueen Band-Aid.
I do. I always have to have a Lightning McQueen. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll take any sort of Band-Aid that isn't just like the brown ones. They actually have those at Target the other day. I saw they had like the old-style Mickey Mouse ones. Who the hell is using that? Like, "Hey, kid. Hey, 8-year-old boy, look at this black and white mouse cartoon that I'm putting on you." What a great choice. Unless you're some hipster douche who has to wear it so you can, you know, be edgy or retro or something with your fedora, which, you know, I happen to own a few. But I like the Lightning McQueen one because our little boy Oscar likes Lightning McQueen, so that's always good.
That's always good.
Back to the show.
Back to the show. Well, I look forward to this foray into the new.
Oh yeah, you're right. Here we got 29 minutes. Oh, God, that was fast.
It was fast.
It was totally fast.
I think you need to wrap up.
I'm going to wrap up.
Bumper music and thank you for sharing
Wait,
this time with me.
Do you have your phone? Here, put bumper music on there. Get Supermassive Black Hole or something like that.
All right. Well, you keep
talking. So, okay. So I'm going to try to do this as often as I can. If I can figure out how to put this thing, where I'm going to do, what I'm going to do with this. But we just needed to get one under our belts so that, because we've been talking about this for, 2 weeks now? And just like, oh, there's no way we can do it. How are we going to record it on our computer? And so it invariably, the way that we get things done is by throwing ourselves out a window. And here we are laying in bed. It is 10:30 in the morning. And Susan says, we should do it now. And I was like, click, let's do it. And so here we are doing it. But what I really want to do is I'm really excited about this. And I really want to get a different cast member in here every couple of days or once a week and just record something and let you hear them, let you hear their thoughts, let you get to know them, let us, you know, this person and I interact. So you get an idea of what's going on behind the barricade. Oh, my. Okay. Press play. Hip, hip. Bye.